When I started working on this message today, I started thinking about the journey that God had given me in my life. I started attending God's church when I was 7 years old. My only experience with church at that time had been going to Sunday school with my mom. My father rarely attended, and if the weather was good, my father would go flying in his Piper Cub that him and his friends had restored, and oftentimes he'd take me with him. So I'd much rather go flying with my dad than go to Sunday school. So that was my kind of introduction to church at that time. I remember my dad listened to Mr. Armstrong and decided to start attending God's church, the Church of God. And my memory's not as good as it used to be, but I never remember my parents telling me that church would be at least 2 hours. I remember the first time, I vividly remember this, the first time we went, I had to sit by my mom. I had four sisters, and I couldn't be trusted to sit by my sisters. So I sat by my mom, and I kept wondering. We had the sermonette, and I thought, this will never end. But it did, and I got used to it. You know, over the years, as I got older, you know, I came to understand God's truth better and better. That did not always translate to godly action in my teen years, but it's often the case, if we don't walk away from God and His truth, if we don't walk away from God and His calling, He'll be there for us, and He'll see us through those times. There's many times I wish I could have gone out on Saturday night with my friends at school, but once you get a little bit older and more perspective on it, you realize that those times that I didn't go out, I was probably saving myself. God was saving me from really messing up my life. As I said, I grew up at a young age in God's church, and there comes a point in time when you have to decide, is this your parents' religion, or is this something I believe? And it became something that I believed. It was a choice much like the Israelites back in Deuteronomy 30. You're faced with a choice that you have to decide, do I want to choose life, or do I want to choose to live the way of the world? And I started becoming committed to living God's way of life. I was baptized. I got married. You know, God gives us the opportunity to be a part of His family. It's not something that we deserve. It's not something we earn. We all know that it's through grace that we have that opportunity to be a part of the kingdom that we look forward to it during these feast days. If you turn over to Romans chapter 12, we'll read verses 1 through 2. Mr. Morrison read these earlier in the feast, but I want to kind of hone in on some things I plan to speak about today. You know, Paul was writing about God's expectations for those that he's called. Romans chapter 12, and starting in verse 1, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And you do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Brethren, when I read through these scriptures, there's a lot to digest. There's a lot in these two verses. It talks about not conforming to the world, but to be transformed to the perfect will of God. It talks about presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. Well, for this message today, I want to speak about one facet that's talked about in these verses, and that's living a living sacrifice. You know, many sermons could be given about that topic, but I want to just look at one area. So for today's message, I want to look at the time is now to learn how to serve. The time is now to learn how to serve. You know, this physical life is the time that we need to be learning how to serve. If you want a title for this message, it's titled, Are You Ready to Serve? Are you ready to serve? First point I want to bring out is one that we all know. We're called to serve. We're called to serve God. We're told that we need to put Him first. We need to seek His will. We need to seek God's kingdom and His righteousness. We need to overcome Satan in this world. We need to overcome ourselves, our own human nature. And just as we read in Romans 12, we need to be transformed into what God wants us to be, to follow the example of our elder brother, Jesus Christ. When we serve God, we also have the opportunity to serve others in this world. It gives us the opportunity to help those who are in need, whether they're part of God's church or whether they're not. If you turn over to Matthew chapter 20, Matthew chapter 20, we'll read verses 20 through 28. In these verses, Jesus Christ taught us, His disciples, and us a very valuable lesson that we need to keep in mind as we live this life God has called us to live. Matthew chapter 20, and we'll start in verse 20. It says, "Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Him with her sons kneeling down and asking something from Him. And He said to her, 'What do you wish?' And she said to Him, 'Grant that these two sons of mine may sit one on the right hand and the other on the left in your kingdom.' But Jesus answered and said, 'You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I'm about to drink? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with?' And they said, 'We are able.'" Verse 23, it says, "So He said to them, 'You will indeed drink of My cup and be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with, but to sit for on My right hand and on My left is not Mine to give, but is for those for whom it has been prepared by My Father.' And when the 10 heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to Himself and said, 'You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. But it shall not be among you. Whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. And just as the Son of Man did not come to serve, but did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life ransom for many." You know, Jesus Christ set us that example that He came to this earth to serve. He came to this earth to lay down His life as a sacrifice to be crucified for not only us here today, but for the whole world. How did Jesus Christ serve when He was on this earth? We have examples where He fed the hungry. We have examples where He healed the sick, where He cast out demons. He did these things while He was teaching the truth, God's truth. He gave us the example of how we should also serve on this earth. You know, we do not perform the miracles that Jesus Christ did, but we have the opportunity to help feed others. We have the opportunity to take others out, maybe to donate, to buy food for someone. We have the opportunity to pray for those who are sick. We can also pray that God will help heal them, to comfort them. We have the opportunity to visit those whose health may not be good. We have the opportunity to pray and encourage one another, as we've talked about during these feasts. Those who may be threatened by this world or maybe being buffeted by Satan, we have the opportunity to pray for them as well. In Galatians chapter 6, and verse 10, it tells us, "Therefore, we have the opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are the household of faith." You know, God is instructing us through what Paul, that we have the opportunity to help others. We should take advantage of that opportunity, especially those who are part of the faith, those who understand God's plan, but also those who may be a part of this world who don't understand God's plan at this time. If you turn to Matthew chapter 25, we'll read verses 35 through 40. These verses are very familiar to us. It's towards the end of the chapter, Jesus Christ was using an analogy of separating the sheep from the goats to illustrate those who would be a part of God's kingdom and those who would not. Matthew 25, and we'll start in verse 35. It says, "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink?" Verse 38, it tells us, "When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me." You know, from these verses, we can see what God expects from us. God expects us to be serving others. You know, God has called us to be his servants at this time, to serve him. And brethren, we're called to do service now as we prepare to serve God and Jesus Christ and his kingdom. The second point I want to bring out is serving may be out of your comfort zone. Serving may be out of your comfort zone. You know, we know that God calls those who are young. He calls those who are in middle age. He also calls those who are older. We also know God has called the weak of the world. My comfort level of serving when I was younger was very narrow. You know, one of the reasons why it was, I was so shy when I was in school. I didn't like to raise my hand. I didn't like anybody really looking at me. I remember if I raised my hand, I'd have 25 other students looking at me for the answer. Standing up in front of class, to me, was a near-death experience. I remember a speech during my college years where my mind went blank and I couldn't think of anything to say, kind of a little bit like I was earlier in this message. The longer the silence went, the more nervous I became. I finally bonked my head on the lectern, hit my head to jumpstart my brain. It's not a gesture I use anymore. I'm sure some of you can relate to that, and I'm sure some of you would say, "You know what, I'd like to see that gesture." But I'm not going to give it today. You'll have to wait for another time. It was 25 years ago that I gave my first sermonette, and I told my mom, you know, how it made me nervous. And she told me, she said, "Well, if God can speak through Balaam's donkey, surely he can speak through you." So you might be thinking of that statement, you think, well, that's not very nice for someone's mom to say. Or you might be saying, you know what, Kent's mom was a very funny woman. You might be thinking that. But if you think about it a little bit longer, it is a true statement. It's a very true statement. When I'm up here speaking to you today, or when anybody is up here speaking, we've all prayed that God will help us to give something that's useful, something that his people can use, something that he wants his people to use and to be able to learn from. And brethren, when we're up here speaking, it is God speaking through me. It's not me. It's not something I can do. I just related a little bit of how I was growing up. You don't need to turn there, but in 1 Corinthians 1:27, I'll read this out of the New Living Translation. It says, "Instead, God chose the things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose the things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful." You know, God has called those of us that are the weak of the world. Ones of us sitting here today, the world doesn't expect much out of us. We're not influential. We don't seem to be moving the needle on anything. Most in this world would think that we couldn't accomplish much. And you know what? They're right. We can accomplish much. It's God through us that does the accomplishing. It's us yielding our lives to him that God can accomplish whatever he wants. You know, another example I want to bring out about serving that was out of my comfort zone. There was a lady in our church area whose heart was failing. The doctors had given her just a few months to live. I'd spoken to her at church, and so I knew her a little bit. Her son had had her move to be closer to him so he could better take care of her. But as I said, her heart was failing. She couldn't come to church anymore. And I decided I would visit her once a week. So after work, I would go, and I would go visit her. You may be wondering, why would that be outside my comfort zone? Well, brethren, when somebody's dying or at the end of their life, what do you have to talk about? How can you go talk to somebody for a half hour and try to comfort them? It's the same way that we do anything for God. It's through His help. I pray that God would help me to say something comforting to her, to be able to talk to her, to be able to maybe encourage her. You know, the funny thing, after a few weeks and months, I learned on how to carry on a conversation with someone who was much older than I was at the time and who was going through a very difficult time in their life. It was funny. I would go over, we'd spend just a brief time talking about how she was doing, and the rest of the time we'd discuss a variety of topics. She would tell me stories about her life. She would tell me about coming into the church, about her and her husband, how they'd gone to the feast, the places they'd gone to. We shared stories about those times. She was always asking me about my children, what they were up to doing. I have three children, what they were doing. She always wanted to know that. She was very well versed in the Bible. We talk about God's great plan, not only for her, but for those of us God has called. She always wanted to hear what I was speaking on, what messages I was preparing, what topics I was going to give. And I would explain those. I would almost give those messages to her sometimes. She also asked about my job. How was my job going? Well, at that time, my job wasn't going really well. There were layoffs happening at the company I worked for, and it was a difficult time for me at that time. But as I continued to visit her, I would go, it would be cold outside, I'd be tired from work, but I found that I was being encouraged, I was being comforted. I found my perspective had changed and was helping me focus more on what was truly important. And brethren, I would submit to you that when we serve others, when we help others, we benefit almost as much or maybe even more than the ones that we're serving. You know, I've given two examples where I started off serving and maybe helping where it was outside of my comfort zone. And like I said earlier, it's only through God's help that we can truly serve in the way that He wants us to, in the opportunities that present themselves to us. You don't need to turn there, but another scripture that I remember a lot is 1 John 4, chapter 4, verse 18. 1 John 4, verse 18 tells us, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear." Casts out fear. You know, as we grow into growing godly love, it replaces the fear that we may have. The fear of serving, maybe outside our comfort zone. You know, I work for a company that manufactures airplanes. It builds small jets, turboprops, and those types of things. I work in finance for that company. Any business that manufactures something or builds something, there's four things that are very important: quality, schedule, safety, cost. And I attend monthly meetings with the director who's over all the assembly and the manufacturing, and he reviews the different areas with his managers and his reports. I'm the one that supplies the financial data, the charts that we go over and review. He reviews the budgets that were set with the help of operations and the help of finance. And he has a saying, if he doesn't agree with the explanations they're giving, he says, and I quote, it says, "It sounds like you've been out to the excuse tree picking excuses." Brethren, do we let things hold us back from serving? We can all come up with excuses of why we can't, but we need to make sure that we're not limiting what God wants us to be doing. Don't limit what God can do through you. The third and last point I want to bring out today is now is the time to learn to be God's servant. Now is the time to learn to be God's servant. Brethren, I remember praying before I started speaking that God would help me to serve him in any way that he wanted. And then the minister asked me to give messages. What could I do? Was I going to say no? No, I don't want to do that. I'd rather do something else. No, I started giving messages. And I learned and I grew from that. The point is, if we pray to God and ask him to help us to be a service to him and serve his people, God will help you to see where there is a need. He'll answer that prayer. I want to read Ephesians 4:16 out of the New Living Translation. It says, Ephesians 4:16, it says, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. Each part does its own special work. It helps to grow. It helps the other parts to grow so the whole body is healthy, growing, and full of love. You know, Paul referred to the church as a body fitly joined together of God's chosen people. You know, when you look at the church today, when you look at those of us here today, there's those who are young, there's those who are old, there's those who are in between, there's those who are single, there's those who are married, there's those with children at home, there's those of us who've had their children move out. There's those that work outside the home, maybe those who work in the home. There are those who are retired. There are those who are in good health. And there's some of us that may not be in good health. Everyone's situation is different due to the age and maybe the stage of where they are in their life. When we continue to serve in our lives, that will continue to change what we can do. It will continue to change. The circumstances will change, but the serving will continue maybe in different ways. Different ways that we could serve when we were younger, maybe we can't serve as we are older. I would submit to you that even if you're very limited, like the lady that I talked about earlier, she was positive to me. When someone tells you that they're praying for you, that's encouraging. That's very encouraging. When somebody's positive with their outlook on life, when somebody has joy in their life, that builds us up, that encourages us. There's some examples in the Bible I want to look at very quickly. I'll just mention a few and see if you remember these. You don't need to turn to these scriptures. There's just a verse or two I want to read. In Acts chapter 9, verse 36, it talks about a woman who served the New Testament church. Acts chapter 9, 36 says, there was a believer in Joppa named Tabitha, which in Greek was Dorcas, and she was always doing kind things for others and helping the poor. You know, in the next few verses, it tells about Dorcas who had become sick. She'd become sick, but God performed a miracle through the Apostle Paul and healed her. Through the Apostle Peter and healed her and resurrected her from the dead. The widows at that time were weeping when Peter came and was showing the coats that she'd made, the coats and the clothing that she'd made. She'd put her talent to work making clothes for others. And brethren, we all have talents. We may not think we have any talents, but I would submit to you that we all have them. And you can ask God to help you use them in service to him. I want to give another example about a couple serving in God's church. And that's from Romans 16, verse 3. Chapter 16, verse 3. I'll read this out of the New Living. You don't need to turn there. It says, give my greetings to Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in the ministry of Christ Jesus. In fact, they once risked their lives for me. I thank them and all the Gentile churches do too. Priscilla and Aquila were a married couple serving, often with Paul in the New Testament church. They'd moved from Rome to Corinth. When the Jews were expelled from Rome, they were tent makers, and Paul lived with them a year and a half making tents while he was preaching the gospel in Corinth. Later on, they moved with Paul to Ephesus, where the church met in their home. Priscilla and Aquila are mentioned 6 times in the Bible, always together. They served together in many different ways in the New Testament church, and they can be a great example of serving. If you want to do a little Bible study, you can go look up those 6 times that they're mentioned in the Bible. If you turn to Acts chapter 11, we'll read verses 22 through 26 out of the New Living Translation. This is another example of someone that I think all of us want to be. It's an example of Barnabas. And as we know, Barnabas' name is the son of encouragement. It tells us the New Testament church started growing among the Gentiles, and specifically in Antioch. And in verse 22, it says, when the church at Jerusalem heard what had happened, they sent Barnabas to Antioch. And when he arrived, he saw the evidence of God's blessing, and he was filled with joy, and he encouraged the believers to stay true to the Lord. Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit, strong in the faith, and many people were brought to the Lord. For those who may not think they have many talents or at a point in their life where they can't serve like they used to, I think we can all use this example about Barnabas. It says he was filled with the Holy Spirit, strong in the faith, was filled with joy, and was an encouragement to everyone that he talked to. Brethren, when we talk to others, when we try to encourage them, we don't need to solve everyone's problem, and we can't in this physical life solve many of the problems that ones have. But we can be there to listen. We can be there to hug someone. We can be there to cry with someone. We can be there to encourage someone. And as I spoke earlier about the widow I was visiting, she was an encouragement and a comfort to me when I was going through a difficult time in my life. You know, as we go through this spiritual journey, we go from seeing the need to serve, to be willing to serve, to start even wanting and enjoying serving. You know, there's many here at the feast that I've observed serving. They have a smile on their face. They've learned that lesson. They see the need to serve. They're willing to serve, and they enjoy serving. And I commend those who are serving here at the feast and who serve in their congregations back home. It's a transition that happens to all of us. When we grow in godly love, we see the need to be servants of His. We're willing to serve. We see that need. We're willing. And brethren, it's important to us to serve because it helps us to grow spiritually. It helps us to grow in what God wants us to be. You know, God has called us to His church to serve. You know, Jesus Christ was the ultimate example of serving. And we need to follow that example in this physical life as we prepare to serve in God's kingdom. We don't know all the service that we'll be doing in God's kingdom, but I can assure you it will continue to be serving God and serving Jesus Christ. Serving takes time, it takes energy. Serving takes godly love as well. It takes godly love to look after the well-being of others. If you're wondering where to serve, ask God. He'll help you. He'll help guide where you need to be serving. And brethren, we can fulfill that scripture that we read earlier about being a living sacrifice. Being a living sacrifice and serving those in God's church and those who may not be in God's church when we have the opportunity. We'll finish with the closing scripture in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, we'll read verses 9 through 13. Paul goes through in these verses about God's expectation to those He has called and what He wants us to be growing in God's Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 12, We'll read verses 9 through 13. I'll read this out of the NIV. It says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Brethren, these verses sum up many of the things that we need to be thinking about every day and how we live our lives. Brethren, let's be sure that we take the time in this physical life that we have to become the useful servants that God wants us to be, preparing to serve Him and Jesus Christ in the kingdom to come.